Denial. Denial continues to run through Cairo tonight. On the upside, this is what democracy looks like. Hey, welcome America. Welcome truth seekers from coast to coast and around the globe tonight. It is I, Brad Friedman. Once again, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and apparently target tonight, as we learn in some breaking news, which we will cover this evening, target of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce as part of a $2 million disinfo campaign, discrediting campaign. Why would they want to go after me? Well, stay tuned tonight, guys. We will be covering all of that. We will also be joined a bit later by the great cartoonist, one of my favorites in the whole wide world, Tom Tomorrow, he of this modern world. Just love Tom Tomorrow. We're going to momentarily get to the latest in Egypt with Lisa Hajar, but I need to set up some business here. Our phone numbers tonight will be 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Oh, did I say we're in for the Malloys? If I didn't, it's only because there's so damn much breaking news. Yes, we are in for Mike Malloy tonight and tomorrow. They are still out on the Caribbean somewhere, cruising about, and they will, however, be back. It's a progressive cruise. They're out there with a bunch of progressives. They'll be back, however, on Monday. Never fear. Until then, you got me, and I hope that's okay. All right, our phone number is 877-520-1150. As I said, write it down. You're going to want them, because you're going to want to participate tonight. These are your public airwaves. Please remember to use them before you lose them more than you already have, before the Chamber of Commerce, those bastards, take the rest of them. You can also join the chat tonight at bradblog.com, where we have an always lively chat room already up and underway. Just go to bradblog.com, and at the very top there, you'll see the top item. You can click through it. You can find the chat room and say hello to Desi Doyen and, excuse me, and For Earth, who are both hostessing, moderating that chat room for your chatting pleasure. We can also be reached via the Twitters at The Brad Blog. That's it. Okay? I think all the business is out of the way. And if you want to get an advance sneak peek at this unbelievable attack that's going on, that has been uncovered at least from the Chamber of Commerce, you can go get a preview of that tonight at bradblog.com. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. But first, we want to get to this latest breaking news now coming out of Egypt. It's been a hell of a day there, with, as you may have heard, Hosni Mubarak was rumored to be on his way out today. Last week I promised that before the Malloys got back, I'd get Mubarak out of there. But I have yet to succeed, and, so this afternoon or this morning, when it looked like he was going to make his speech, that he looked like he was going to go, he then showed up and said, no, I'm not really going. In fact, I'm going to stay here, but I'll put the vice president in charge and I'll just hang around. Hey, Hosni, they're just not that into you. Talk about can't take a hint. So the situation is increasing now in numbers on the ground and people on the ground in volatility. Tomorrow there may be another, they're talking about another march on the presidential palace. We'll see if that comes to be. We'll be keeping our eyes on it, of course, as the sun rises over the next few hours in Egypt. But I first, let's go for the latest news and to learn what we can from Lisa Hajar, a professor in the sociology department at the University of California, Santa Barbara. She's also co-editor of the new news journal How do you say this? Jadila?
No, Jedalia.
Jedalia, okay.
Right. Although we did just make a shorter name for people hearing it on the radio. They can find it at jadmagazine.com.
Smartly done. I was going to
we
complain.
Did that yesterday.
Good thinking, yeah, because I said, oh, boy, I'm going to have to spell this out. Jadmagazine.com. Okay, Lisa, I know you've got a specific focus here on Omar Suleiman. You wrote an article recently about the CIA's man in Cairo and Egypt's torturer-in-chief. But before we get to the specifics about Omar Suleiman and what kind of fella this is, what are you hearing from your folks, your sources on the ground in Egypt tonight? Where is this thing headed? Any idea?
Well, I've been actually on Facebook and email with a lot of folks, and there's a lot of speculation about why things happened as they did. Clearly, nobody knows really what's going on. One speculation that seems persuasive is that the military itself, I mean, the head of the military is a man by the name of Tantawi. He and Suleiman have long been rivals, and so some people were speculating that the military didn't want Mubarak to leave the country because they didn't want, I mean, while Suleiman will be exercising mm-hmm. the powers of the president, they didn't want him to actually fully fill out the, you know, authoritarian role as a, you know, as a way of just sustaining the problems that have led to the protest. So I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's how Egypt watchers are speculating.
Well, are they seeing Suleiman, even if, I mean, the thing that keeps occurring to me, even if Mubarak left tomorrow, if you've got Suleiman in charge, even for this transition, is that something that the people of Cairo, the folks on the ground in Egypt, are going to accept Lisa Hajar, even as a transitional figure?
No, I mean, in fact, the demands today coming out of Tahrir Square were that the whole regime would have to go, and people were chanting, no Mubarak, no Suleiman. The interesting thing about Suleiman, just in terms of what's happened lately, not a lot of Egyptians knew a lot about Suleiman. I mean, you know, Americans probably don't know a lot about Leon Panetta, who's the head of the CIA. I mean,
right.
Only when he was sort of rocketed into the public limelight 3 weeks ago when he was anointed vice president. And one thing what we can say about Suleiman is the more Egyptians get to know him, the less they like him. And so, and you know, he's behaved in a, you know, a very patronizing and clearly authoritarian manner
mm-hmm.
since he sort of stepped in to be the face of the regime over the last several weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and that's what I wonder about. I wonder if, you know, it seems like, and they're doing this, they're drawing this out. I see no other way for this to go other than for Mubarak to leave. But I wonder, you know, when he leaves, there's going to be a great roar. They're going to be delighted if and when this happens. But they're still going to be stuck with Suleiman. So give us an idea, Lisa Hajar, just who this Suleiman, this Omar Suleiman is, and why it is that it seems the United States and Barack Obama, his administration, was very willing to accept this character as a transitional figure.
Well, Suleiman has been, you know, he's known to the Americans for decades. I mean, he has his career has come up through the military. He trained at Fort Bragg, you know, the military officers' school in Fort Bragg in the 1980s. Then in 1993, he was appointed to be the head of the Egyptian General Intelligence Services, which is like the American CIA. However, it actually is a branch of the military. So he's retained his military, you know, position as a general. The Egyptian, you know, the General Intelligence Services has been functioning mainly as, you know, for international and particularly security types of issues. And since the mid 1990s, when Al Qaeda really starts, you know, turning its attention to the Arab regimes and to the West, attacks in Egypt, in Africa, et cetera, under Bill Clinton, you know, Clinton at the time devised what was then the rendition program and did so in very close cooperation with Egypt and specifically and personally with Suleiman as the head of Egyptian intelligence.
And in short, Lisa, we were renditioning folks there, rendering them, I know, at least 40, and I don't know if it was all under Bush or is Bush and Clinton. We were sending out to Egypt, out to Suleiman, who oversaw this program for us, for the CIA, this what turned out to be a torture program on our behalf, correct?
That's correct. The Clinton, under the rendition program under Clinton, it was not explicitly for torture. It was for the purpose of trial. And so some people, for example, Islamic jihadists who were Egyptians and had fled to Albania, to give one example, in the 1990s were kidnapped by the CIA and sent back to Egypt for trial. So it was the for trial component that distinguished the Clinton from then in the war on terror, when President Bush authorized the CIA to begin its extraordinary rendition program in the immediate aftermath of 9/11. That involved, kidnapping people and either, sending them to CIA black sites or to third countries where, for torture by proxy. And in that regard, Egypt was the primary, now certainly not the only destination, but the primary destination for extraordinary rendition cases. So as you said, an unknown number, but certainly in the several dozen, ended up in Egypt, including a few very high-profile cases.
And I've just got a minute or two left here, but Suleiman himself, he wasn't just the head of the torture program in Egypt. He actually participated actively in this torture. Did he not?
He did, indeed. There's one case that's become infamous now, of the case of Mamdou Habib, who's an Egyptian-born Australian citizen who was in Pakistan, was arrested by the Pakistanis, became an immediate person of interest to the CIA. They sent him to Habib to Egypt. The presumption at that time was anybody who wasn't Pakistani or Afghani and who was in Afghanistan or Pakistan was presumptively a terrorist. And so the CIA was in touch, and Suleiman, Habib was electrocuted, hung by his wrists, many brutal tactics. And at one point, one of the people torturing him hit him so hard that his blindfold dislodged, and he saw his tormentor, and it was, in fact, Suleiman himself.
Mm, good Lord. Is there a concern, Lisa, that if both Obama and Suleiman leave, is there a concern by the U.S.? Because I've noticed...
Even Mubarak and Suleiman.
Who did I say?
Obama.
Oh, man. Oops. If Mubarak and Suleiman leave, because I've noticed that Obama has, not out and out said, hey, Mubarak, you got to go. Hey, Suleiman, you got to go. Is there any concern in the U.S. That if those two characters go, if the people really do take over, that, they might expose what went on, what Suleiman did, and on whose behalf he was doing it? In other words, he was doing it on behalf of the U.S. We know that Obama, because of WikiLeaks, we know that Obama has attempted to protect the Bush administration in the past in Spain concerning torture issues. Is this something that could come up in Egypt if the people really do take over?
Oh, absolutely. And in some ways, one has to, at least I would say that one should interpret the Obama administration's position towards Suleiman, which has constantly been behind the ball on how the news is breaking on these issues, is a part of a larger problem of being committed to unaccountability for the torture of our own previous administration.
Yeah.
And Suleiman himself was implicated in, at least there's some kind of a connection between him and the so-called suicide of the person whose false tortured confession in Egypt was used by the Bush administration to justify the Iraq war.
We're talking about Al-Libi, who was found suicided, we'll say, in Libya,
right.
I guess.
Shortly after Human Rights Watch representatives discovered him in a Libyan prison. It was Suleiman flew to Libya, and as Suleiman's plane was returning back to Cairo, that was when Al-Libi suddenly, mysteriously committed suicide.
Oh, man. This is what happens when you don't have accountability. They're finally getting some in Egypt. I wonder if we'll ever get any here in the U.S. Lisa Hajjar, please check out her article, Omar Suleiman, the CIA's Man in Cairo and Egypt's Torturer-in-Chief. It'll help you understand where we may be headed from here. You can get there and read it at JADmagazine.com. Really appreciate you jumping in here tonight for us, Lisa.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great night.
You too.
Man. All right. Well, we will be keeping our eye on the situation in Egypt, in Tahrir Square, as the evening progresses, as the sun rises over the next few hours. If there's anything breaking there, we will let you know right here on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm Brad Friedman, in for Mike. Big show ahead. Stay with us. Yeah, it's been one of those days. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We're running a little bit late, so this will be a very tight segment. I had to shuffle things around about three or four different times today with all the breaking news first coming out of Egypt and then the story we're about to get to next and this attack on folks like me and other fine progressives, Glenn Greenwald and so forth, by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I had hoped to have Frank Heindel on tonight. I will have him tomorrow. One of my newest heroes, Frank Heindel. After the election, the Democratic primary out in South Carolina, where somehow or another Alvin Green managed to win the nomination for the U.S. Senate on their 100% unverifiable touchscreen machines. Frank Heindel, a citizen, a businessman, and a Republican, got busy, started burying the South Carolina Election Commission with the Freedom of Information Act requests, public records requests, getting information from those voting machines, what went wrong, has since found thousands of votes missing, thousands of extra votes that showed up out of nowhere, thousands of errors on these machines. We're going to talk to him for sure tomorrow. You can get more info until then at scvotinginfo.com. Coming up next, the U.S. Chamber is at it again with your tax dollars attacking yours truly. Why? We'll find out. Brad in for Malloy. Petrified at all. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy, fearlessly calling out the liars and sons of bitches who are using your tax dollars to target good people, American citizens, private organizations, and yes, people like me, your friendly citizen investigative blogger. This is just an amazing story, and I'm just going back and forth here with Empty Wheel, Marcy Wheeler, on Twitter about this even as we speak. The fact that, yes, this is tax dollar, taxpayer money that goes to these big corporations like AIG, like Bank of America, goes to them through bailouts. And then it goes to the Chamber of Commerce because they're members of the Chamber of Commerce. Or it's ExxonMobil, who receives, you know, millions and millions, if not billions, in taxpayer subsidies for their companies. And then that money goes to the Chamber of Commerce. What does the Chamber of Commerce do with that money? Well, we're learning a whole lot today. All right, let me see if I can unpack this for you tonight. This is remarkable. Last night we had a caller to the show, late in the show, Rain, from West Virginia, who had called in to tip me off to some emails that revealed that this company, this name of this company is H.B. Gary Federal, that had been hired by Bank of America this company, H.B. Gary Federal, they call it a private security corporation, an intelligence data corporation. And apparently they had given a proposal to Bank of America on how they could attack WikiLeaks and how they could discredit WikiLeaks. And among the things that they would do, and there was a number of firms, not just H.B. Gary, by the way, Palantir and Barrico Technologies. They would, well, here's some of the email that we discovered that was meant to attack Glenn Greenwald, saying that he was critical. Glenn Greenwald, he's a writer at Salon. He was critical in the Amazon to OVH transition, talking about how Amazon had dropped WikiLeaks when Amazon had been their server. It is this level of support that needs to be disrupted. They needed to disrupt Glenn Greenwald. And there's a PowerPoint presentation here. These are established professionals that have a liberal bent, but ultimately most of them, if pushed, will choose professional preservation over cause. Such is the mentality of most business professionals. Without the support of people like Glenn, WikiLeaks would fold. And it goes on to talk about a disinformation campaign that could be run. All kinds of information. All right, so where did we get this information that this group was going to attack Glenn Greenwald, was going to attack WikiLeaks? Well, we got it because word got out about these groups and that they were going to attack WikiLeaks. And so the hacktivist group known as Anonymous, you may remember, we've talked about them on this show before. Anonymous actually went after and hacked Visa and MasterCard and Amazon and took them down when they stopped serving WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks, an organization which has broken no crimes, has broken no laws, has committed no crimes, has been charged with no crimes. So this group, Anonymous, has taken their side. Well, word got out that these groups, HB, Gary, Federal, and so forth, were targeting WikiLeaks. So what did Anonymous do? They targeted H.B. Gary, and they actually went in, they hacked their Twitter page, and they put all kinds of stuff on their Twitter page. They hacked their web servers and got all kinds of emails, 40,000 of these emails, at least, other reports say 60,000, and released them all on the web. Well, folks have been crawling through these emails. And here's what we learned tonight from Think Progress, from Lee Fong over there. He writes, Think Progress has learned that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the big business trade association representing ExxonMobil, AIG, and other major international corporations, is working with sets of private security companies and lobbying firms to undermine their political opponents, including Think Progress, with a surreptitious sabotage campaign. According to emails obtained by Think Progress, the chamber hired the lobbying firm Hunton and Williams to spearhead this effort. Hunton and Williams attorney Richard Wyatt, who once represented Food Lion in its infamous lawsuit against ABC News, was hired by the chamber in October of last year. To assist the chamber, Wyatt and his associates, John Woods and Bob Quackenboss, hired a set of private security firms, H.B. Gary Federal, Palantir, and Barrico Technologies, collectively called Team Themis, to develop tactics for damaging progressive groups and labor unions, in particular Think Progress, the labor called Change to Win, the SEIU, U.S. Chamber Watch, and StopTheChamber.com. Now, full disclosure, StopTheChamber.com is a campaign of a group called VelvetRevolution.us, co-founded by yours truly. At least by bradblog.com. We were very early calling out the Chamber of Commerce for the criminal behavior of their CEO, Tom Donahue, calling for accountability against this organization. This lobbying group is all they are. I know that U.S. Chamber of Commerce sounds like they're something official. No, they're not official at all. They are a right-wing lobbyist group, period. And they have been targeting efforts at climate change legislation. They were targeting efforts at real health care reform. That's what these guys do. incredibly, Barack Obama spoke to them this week. But in any case, moving beyond that, StopTheChamber.com is a campaign of Velvet Revolution U.S., VelvetRevolution.us, which, as I say, I am one of the co-founders. Back to Think Progress here. According to one document prepared by Team Themis, the campaign included an entrapment project. The proposal called for first creating a, quote, false document, perhaps highlighting periodical financial information, unquote, to give a progressive group opposing the chamber and then to subsequently expose the document as a fake to undermine the credibility of the chamber's opponents. In addition, the group proposed creating a fake insider persona to generate communications with Change to Win. Change to Win had set up the group called U.S. Chamber Watch. So here is here's some of the information from one of the documents that was taken from Team Thesis by this hacktivist group called Anonymous and posted online. Here was the scheme that they were planning and perhaps even pulled off. At this point, we don't know. I don't recall getting any false documents to my knowledge, but here we go. Part of this document said, as their plan to discredit progressives, create a false document, perhaps highlighting periodical financial information, and monitor to see if U.S. Chamber Watch acquires it. Afterwards, present explicit evidence proving that such transactions never occurred. Also, create a fake insider persona and generate communications with Change to Win. Change to Win. Afterward, release the actual documents at a specified time and explain the activity as a Change to Win contrived operation. Both instances will prove that U.S. Chamber Watch cannot be trusted with information and or tell the truth. So they were going to set them up, put out fake documents, purposely give them to them, wait for them to release them, and then come out with the real documents and say, see, Change to Win, U.S. Chamber Watch, they falsified documents. This was the plan that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce was either considering or actually did. All right, the document goes on. Connect U.S. Chamber Watch's radical tactics to Velvet Revolution. Again, that's our group. Velvet Revolution, explaining that both entities are loosely operating together. Well, we're not. Depending on the level of connection established, such an approach may need to be spotlighted as more of a conspiracy rather than a separate vocal persona. So they are going to call out a fake conspiracy against them. The document continues. If needed, create two fake insider personas, using one as a leverage to discredit the other while confirming the legitimacy of the second. Such work is complicated, but a well-thought-out approach will give way to a variety of strategies that can sufficiently aid the formation of vetting questions U.S. Chamber Watch will likely ask. The security firm who put that together had hoped to obtain $200,000 for that initial background research and then charge up to $2 million for a larger disinformation campaign against progressives. You see how it works? First, Bank of America was hiring this group to go against their enemies, who they saw as Glenn Greenwald, a journalist at Salon, and the group WikiLeaks, the media group WikiLeaks. They were going to hire these guys. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce was going to hire these guys to go after me. And I, by the way, I've been told, I haven't combed through all 60,000 emails yet, but I'm told my name comes up in these emails. I can't confirm that yet, but that's what I'm told. All of this being done, of course, whether it's courtesy of the Bank of America, whether it's courtesy of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, being done with your tax dollars. Remember that bailout to Bank of America? Billions and billions of dollars? They also, of course, Bank of America, are members of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, along with many other corporations who have received your tax dollars through tax subsidies, through bailouts, and they are targeting progressives. They are trying to discredit guys like Glenn Greenwald, guys like me, organizations who are out there, organizations like Acorn. Gosh, I wonder how they got so discredited. Or Velvet Revolution. I wonder if this 200,000 or this 2 million went to this hit piece that Fox News ran against Velvet Revolution about a year ago that resulted in unbelievable death threats coming our way. I'll read you some of those death threats when we get back. These, of course, are the folks that Barack Obama spoke to earlier this week. But when you wonder, you know, how this happens, and when you hear about these discredited groups, oh, they're lefty, they're revolutionaries, they're radicals, where does this come from? There are groups, there are organizations, private organizations, that make their living putting out BS to discredit people. Because it's good for their bottom line. Because it's good for profits, for business, putting profits over people. That's what these un-American groups like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce do. Brad, in from Molloy.
Riders on the storm, into this house we're born.
Yeah, and if the U.S. Chamber of Commerce doesn't get that respect, they'll pay $2 million to get it to discredit progressive organizations. Unbelievable. We're talking for now. And, well, by the way, we're gonna we'll lighten it up a bit in the next hour. We'll be joined by Tom Tomorrow, of great cartoonist of This Modern World. He will be joining us. But continuing on with this breaking news today, you can get more information, obviously, at bradblog.com on these 40,000 or 60,000 emails that have been released now from the Chamber of Commerce that were stolen by the group Anonymous and posted on the web and show all kinds of attacks on progressives that these insidious beasts at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce were willing to do, apparently. About a year ago, just over a year ago, December of 2009, out of nowhere, Fox News, we wrote about this at the time at BradBlog, Fox News ran a hit piece on the StopTheChamber.com campaign. Again, that's a campaign of Velvet Revolution. I'm a co-founder of Velvet Revolution. They ran a hit piece claiming that we had put a bounty on the head of the Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, hunted by the left. FoxNews.com splashed across their front page. And what do you know? Liberal activist group offers big money for info leading to arrest, conviction of Chamber of Commerce CEO after trade organization comes out against climate change legislation and health care reform. Well, the response that we got from Fox News. Now, do you suppose that this was part of their information disinformation campaign? Do you suppose anybody from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce went to their pals over at Fox News and said, hey, we need you to hit these bastards hard. Please destroy them. How much will it cost us? We're happy to pay. We got $2 million at least to pay for this crap. Fox News delivered. And in kind, in came the death threats. In came the attacks. Accusations that we are Nazis, that we are communists. Here's just some of the emails we received. I'll have to edit them for radio. Leave the U.S. Chamber of Commerce alone. This is the only warning you will receive, said one email that we received. another. You will be confronted and stopped. I am quite probably a member of the fastest, actually he said the fasting growing group that is your direct enemy. You are all on borrowed time. The real revolution will come to those soon. You pieces of blank should all be effing burned at the stake. These are all different emails, mind you, that we received after Fox News ran their hit piece on us at the behest of the Chamber of Commerce. I don't make threats. I only promises. You better back the hell off, said another. Another said, be careful what you ask for. Another said, bounty on your head, beware. Another said, all I can say is go F your mother. What a pathetic left-wing org this is, run by, wait for it, MFers. This goes on and on and on and on. If you want to read more of that, you can look back at our story, go to Brad Blog and look up Fox News death threats. They go on and on and on. Mission accomplished, apparently, by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Or maybe, what do I know? Maybe just Fox News decided to run that story. They didn't do it at the behest of U.S. Chamber of Commerce, did they? And all of those email threats that we received, they weren't from any of these groups. HB Gary Federal, Palantir, Barrico Technologies. Those people who were working to attack private citizens for having the temerity to be what? Progressives? To speak out, to use their freedom of speech, to attack progressive organizations like StopTheChamber.com, U.S. Chamber Watch, Think Progress, Glenn Greenwald, yours truly? This is how these people operate. And until there is accountability, until the rule of law is applied to these people, they're just begging for this place to turn into Egypt. And I swear, one of these goddamn days, it will. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Tom Tomorrow is going to cheer us all up next. Stay with us.